When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3. So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Yeah, well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Welcome back to this shit show that we call a podcast.
Gobble,
I really
gobble.
Like that intro. Yeah, gobble, gobble. Please never say that again, Kiernan. But yeah, it's Thanksgiving. It's technically... whatever, Drinksgiving is what they call the day before because we're releasing it tonight. But happy Thanksgiving, Kiernan. What are you thankful for this year?
I am thankful for Penn State's ability to lose exactly when I plan them to lose.
That's fair. That's fair.
How about yourself?
Well, my girlfriend likes when I talk about her on this, so I'll say my girlfriend. not the fucking selection committee.
Yes.
And we're just going to jump right into the rankings because there's some things. First off, Liberty, Clemson, and NC State jump in. My spreadsheet's all types of fucked up currently. So let's actually just try and... yeah, no, my spreadsheet's all fucked up. But anyway, Liberty at 25, Clemson at 24, Tulane at 23... NC State at 22 and Tennessee at 21. Kiernan, what are your thoughts?
If you have four losses, you shouldn't be in the fucking rankings.
That's fair. At least until like the final rankings. Like if you have early losses and then go on a run, if you want to stick them at 20, that's fine.
I guess.
But no, I agree with you. There are plenty of other teams.
Right. And just on that, those five alone. Tulane and Liberty at 10-1 and 11-0 respectively should absolutely be above a 7-4 Clemson. And I don't
and a 7-4 Tennessee.
And a seven, sorry, yes, and a 7-4 Tennessee. That is ridiculous that they are not.
Yeah, but Kiernan, Tennessee looked good at the beginning of the year. That is literally what the chairman of the committee said. No, he said, if you're like, why are they in there? They're 7-4. They looked good early on.
Guess what? Their record doesn't reflect that. I don't even, like, here's the thing. I understand kind of the controversy when it gets up to the top, like, 8 or so. Because it's like, oh, well, you know, you have a head-to-head matchup. And then you have a really good blowout win against a solid, you know, in-conference team. And then, you know, I get those arguments, but when you get past 15, like, what are you trying to prove with those two 7-4 teams?
Yeah.
They're not good. They're just not good.
It's ridiculous. I think the committee doesn't realize that there have been a lot more games played since like week 3 or 4, because there's some other rankings that make no goddamn sense. Next up, you have Oklahoma at 20, Kansas State at 19, Notre Dame at 18, Iowa at 17, Oregon State at 16. You know, I don't have too many massive issues with this.
No, I'm fine.
All right, next up, Arizona at 15, LSU at 14, Oklahoma at 13, Mississippi at 12, and Penn State at 11. I feel like Mississippi being below Missouri is questionable. Mm-hmm. Like, don't get me wrong. Missouri's having a really good year for Missouri. But, like, I feel like Mississippi should be ranked higher than them.
Have they played each other?
So I'm looking up right now. All right, well, I looked it up, and no, they have not played each other since 2019.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess that kind of makes sense then. But
same opponents, leans a little bit toward Ole Miss.
Okay.
So, I don't know. This might just be an overarching issue with the committee, so I'm just trying to find other issues with them. Next up, Louisville at 10, Missouri at 9, Alabama at 8, Texas at 7, Oregon at 6, and Florida State at 5. Now,
here's where the problems show up.
So, head-to-head matchup really matters. It's really, really, really important to the committee.
Mm-hmm.
So if a team might have one more loss but has that head-to-head win, it might be a little closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because, like, well, this team we think is really good, so this other team who beat them is also really good even though they have one more loss. And the committee heard all their talk about head-to-head matchups and went, nah, fuck that. And decided to put Oklahoma 5 spots below Texas. And I think since week three, because that USF game still exists and is more painful than the Texas game to me, Alabama has looked like the much better team. I don't think Texas beats Alabama if they play tomorrow.
No, absolutely not.
So, and then I bring it up every year, but it comes back to what Tim Tebow said. Is it best or most deserving? Because if it's most deserving, yeah, fine, put Texas above Alabama. If it's best, if you're trying to get the best teams in the playoffs, which I think should be the goal, Texas is not a better team than Alabama.
No.
Oregon, with their absolutely zero ranked wins, is not a better team than Texas, Alabama, Missouri, Louisville, Penn State, Mississippi, Oklahoma, LSU, Arizona, who has fucking 4 ranked wins, by the way.
Yes. Yes, they do. Which is wild.
Yeah, it's insane. And Oregon is still at number 6.
Yeah.
It's so fucking stupid how the committee goes back and forth on the rules for whatever they want. Now, if they're setting up so Alabama can win out and get in, I'm fine with it. I don't think that's the case. There's no way that we get in without, like, a Washington loss in the game blowout.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a close game, Ohio State and Michigan could still get in.
Yeah.
If it's a blowout, they're not. One of them isn't.
Yeah, and I just, it's like, why, what is the point for the committee to say all of these things of what matters to them, what they're focusing on, who's the better team, and all this jazz, and then completely ignore it? I would prefer them to say absolutely nothing and simply release the rankings, because arguably then you could say, then it's up for the viewer to make assumptions, because almost negate all of that BS that you are pushing and paddling, because now it's not listening to your comments, looking at the results and going, this is clearly wrong. It can just say, here's what we think. And then that's the end of it, because that would arguably be the better system.
Oh, 100%. Because then people could come up with arguments, exactly. And then you just have fans arguing amongst each other.
Right.
And if someone in the media asks, like, the chairman of the committee, like, hey, why, like, people are thinking this way, that's not why we did it. We don't release our findings, which some people would also be mad about, but I think they'd be a lot less mad. Like, this is how we voted on it.
Right. And the speculation of subjectivity versus objectivity can come in, but it only at the spectator and fan level. And you're shielding yourself from all of this bullcrap, which is being open and transparent, and then completely going against everything you've ever said ever. So,
daft. And Greg McElroy was talking about the Texas-Alabama thing and saying, like, the regular season has to matter. See, I agree with him on that. The regular season does have to matter a bit. You play all these games, it has to fucking matter. The problem is, you are now sending a message to other teams hoping to make the college football playoffs. You cannot schedule a good out-of-conference opponent. Mm-hmm. Because if you lose, we are going to hold that against you regardless of how the rest of your games go. Even if that that tough out-of-conference opponent ends up blowing everyone else out and they beat you by three, the Greens go, well, they lost by three to this team that just beat their biggest rival by 40. So, I don't know. It's making the regular season count and sacrificing the regular season. The regular season is going to count for rankings. Yes, we are not going to see good out-of-conference games until bowl season starts.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to fucking take that risk.
Yeah. You'd be better off just beating up Kent State.
Yeah, it's...
And if you blow them out 63-0, then great. You've got a great first start to your campaign.
Yeah, it's not going to help your rankings, but it's not going to hurt them because you're not going to lose. It's like in school when, you know, you get like 500s or something, or like 595s on a test, and then you get 72 on a test. Your average is 74 for some fucking reason. Yeah. That's how the committee's grading it.
Yeah. It's weighted purely in the opposite direction of how it should be weighted.
Yeah, and I think part of it is they're people. They're flawed. They've heard the talk of, SEC bias, SEC bias for the last fucking, I don't know, 70 years, really. And so they're like, ha, how's that for SEC bias? We're holding the best teams out because they're in the SEC. Well, that's still SEC bias, just the other way.
Yeah, it's anti-SEC bias.
Yeah, I liked it more when it was pro-SEC bias. Well, of course. Honestly, though, if I had to pick, I would go with just no bias. No, if I had to pick, I would go pro. But my second choice is just no bias. Yeah, no, I'm honest on like the fucking committee. I have things I want and I say what they are. The committee is like, oh, Tennessee was good in week one. Oh, Texas beat Alabama but lost Oklahoma, so they're five ahead of Oklahoma. It's fucking stupid. These committees are absolutely insane. Bring back the fucking computers. Bring back the BCS. Or bring back the Wild West days where you'd have 40 different publications announcing a national champion at the year's end, and then schools pick the most insane natties to claim.
Yeah, sure. That's more fun.
Like, in, I think it was 1942, Alabama was ranked 20th in the AP poll, but one poll named them national champions. Like, yeah, we're national champions this year. And they still claim it to this day. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah. That's a better way to do it. Or, yeah, like... And the other thing is, like, it's going to come full circle with, like, the committee making rankings, people disagreeing with them, more simulation work going in, and, you know, all these coding and calculation equations of, you know, how often does a third down conversion happen in the first half of the second quarter, you know, like, all this bullshit. And it should just go back to the BCS, where it just spits out a national champion, or at least like four bowl games at the end of the year where any of these teams could be the national champion. It's much more fun.
Oh yeah. If they did it that way, like there was still a game, like I still want there to be games, but like, or have the computer, just take the BCS computer.
Yeah.
Make their final rankings half of the equation, make the committees the other half, and then put them together.
Yeah. There's easier ways to go about this, and they're not doing those things.
No, it's fucking insane. And then your top four, Washington, Michigan, Ohio State, and Georgia. Like, congrats to Washington. People are saying there's no way the committee can put in an undefeated. They can't put in an undefeated Florida State. Yes, they fucking can.
Yeah. Why like, wouldn't they?
People are saying they earned it. Okay, so we're going back to most deserving, not best. So we're going to have Florida State's backup get fucking molested in the backfield by Georgia. Great.
Wonderful.
Also, people are ignoring the fact that before Jordan Travis got hurt, they did end up winning 58-13. They were struggling against North Alabama. That's kind of been swept under the rug with the Jordan Travis injury.
Second half team, Kev.
apparently, because fucking North Alabama can have them on the ropes for a half.
That was Penn State's thing for like the Nick Sorley Saquon era. It was always, oh, we're a second half team. We'll get them in the second half, and we'd scrape by or something like that. Some of the games we'd win outright, but like some of the games we just like scrape by on a field goal, and we're like, yeah, second half team, guys. It was great. It was so stupid and so much fun.
I feel like that'd be a lot of fun to watch games like that as someone who is
not a fan of Penn State.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
agony all the time.
They don't have a horse in the race. They're just kind of watching like, oh shit, Penn State's coming back. For a fan of a team playing Penn State or a fan of Penn State itself, the fan of the team playing Penn State is probably miserable for the entire second half. They go from the highest of the highs to the lowest of lows. And then you have a Penn State fan who's just having cardiac arrest the entire fucking time.
It was me. I was the person having cardiac arrest. I still to this day, I actually genuinely hate watching Penn State games because I'm like, at what quarter are you going to disappoint me? And it's such a negative way to look at games. But I think a lot of other teams can also kind of feel this way. But it's like you get so close every year and then you fuck it up at the only time that you can't. You could fuck it up 2 weeks ago, that would have been fine. But now that you fucked up, it's exponentially worse.
Yeah, they want to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
Only to crush them. They're
They're
like that toxic ex.
Yeah, they are.
I have compared far too many teams to toxic exes on this. I feel like I do it a lot. There's a lot like it. But moving on to your homeland, Kiernan.
Yes.
It's announced the 2027 season will open up with Wisconsin playing Pitt in Ireland.
Oh, that is going to be a fun game.
It's either going to be a fun game or disgusting. Yeah, sure. Those two teams are going to drink Ireland dry.
I know, which is saying something, but Wisconsinites, or whatever you want to call them, they drink a ton. So,
they're the drunkest state in the country.
Yep.
Based on county records, like who binge drinks the most, it is Wisconsin. There's like two counties, I think, or three in Wisconsin that are not the darkest color they can be on that map.
Yeah.
And also, Pittsburgh, Steel City, working class city, they drink a lot too.
They drink a ton, yeah. I think they're underappreciated as drinkers, I think.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, but also, and some people are probably going to get pushback by that. Like, it's Ireland. They're not going to, first off, Ireland's like becoming a tech country.
Well, it is.
Oh, yeah, no, 100%. So they're not like, I don't want to say they're not the island you're picturing because there are parts that are the island you're picturing. But also, Americans are not allowed to compete in drinking competitions in other countries.
Wait, are you
No, there was stories going around like, we were in like England or something, and they're at a drinking competition, and they realized we were from Wisconsin and told us we were not allowed to compete.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Or the Marines, I think, were doing exercises in Iceland.
Mm.
They literally drank all the alcohol that was on that island.
Okay, that does not at all surprise me. Marines have the metabolism of like a beluga whale. Like, it's ridiculous. They can just keep going.
Yeah, there was also a shortage of Crayola crayons after they left. I don't know what was going on with that one, but
oh god.
Speaking of Marines and blowing shit up, Kaden, the Egg Bowl is getting a little heated. I think we are underrating the Egg Bowl as a rivalry.
Possibly.
I don't know what tweet exactly started this, but someone tweeted, at FBI, sounds like this dude, and it may need to be on some sort of watch list. I'm assuming the dude who needs to be on a watch list about it, I will bomb that place. At Oxford Police. Them pussies ain't gonna do anything. Oxford Police Department, Donnie, online threats aren't funny. Donnie pulls out old reliable, fuck you.
Legend.
Man, the Egg Bowl, I feel like, always just has these stories around it, and people don't talk about it being a great rivalry.
You're absolutely right. I mean, the level of both confidence and carelessness that Donnie has is almost inspiring, to be honest.
Oh, that's very true. I mean, hey, guys, if you can slide in those DMs, if Donnie can threaten to bomb Oxford, Mississippi, and then tell their police, fuck you, you can do it.
Not the bombing part, just whatever activity that is.
Sliding in your crushes, sliding in your crushes DMs is specifically what I meant by you can do it. And it's not like super one-sided. It's not super close. It's Ole Miss leads the series 64-46 and then six ties.
Mm-hmm.
But Mississippi State has the largest victory at 65-0, the longest win streak at 13 from 1911 to 1925. It's a pretty competitive rivalry, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I think it's going to be exciting to watch, certainly, because, you know, it's just kind of an underappreciated one. And I think football fans, like, overall football fans, should go watch that game.
Yes, 100%. More, it is rivalry week, Kiernan.
Yes.
And then you're stuck playing Michigan State, I think.
Yep.
I feel like that's how you guys. I feel like that's how you guys always play this week.
Yeah.
Is it tough not being your biggest rival's biggest rival? Does that hurt at all?
Yes. It does, but we don't deserve it. So
that's fair.
Like, yeah, it sucks that we can't go out and be like, yeah, this is, you know, this is our rivalry week type thing. And then, yeah, it sucks, but it's like, there's nothing really we can do about it until we start beating them regularly. So, you know, there's no point.
I think you guys should switch it up and make Michigan State your biggest rival and then call it the Little Brother Bowl.
Oh, yeah. That would be annoying.
It would be, but it'd also be kind of funny. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Penn annoying State, Ohio that. State.
Yeah.
Like, Penn State hates Michigan, but y'all hate Ohio State more.
Oh, way more. Seems. Yeah.
So, you know, Michigan and Michigan State, they're a decent rivalry too, mm-hmm. but it's the game is what people care about. And you guys right. are just kind of there.
Yeah.
You guys are the last two at the dance.
Yeah.
Your crushes are dancing with each other.
Yeah.
So you guys just got to dance together.
Exactly. And it is super annoying. And until we can beat them in the regular season, like year in and year out, or at least make it close, like, you know, 3-point loss in a last second field goal. Like I wouldn't consider that, you know, obviously it's not a win, but it's a morale win. If that makes sense, like for the next year, like, oh, we almost had him here. Let's go get him again. That type of, you know.
That's fair. Who do you think is going to win the game, Kiernan?
I would have to think Michigan.
I'd agree. People are like, well, Michigan was stealing signs. That's why they won. They dominated the entire game.
Yeah.
Offense, defense, didn't matter. I have concerns Ryan Day can't win a big game.
Mm-hmm.
But with the game, surrounding the game is this story of Michigan's sign-stealing scandal, corporate espionage scandal, buying and trying to hook up with underage girls scandal, gambling scandal. It seems Michigan just kind of dropped all the facade. It was just like, yeah, we did it. We're just going to accept the punishment, and please stop looking into things. And the NCAA was like, okay.
Yeah, which is wild, because it's just like, because I think it should be harsher. It's like, how do I want to phrase this? They got caught doing, or are alleged to have been doing, all of these different things. They got the 3-game ban. I don't know if there's anything else coming in the pipeline specifically, but it's like, I feel like there should be harsher punishments for a collective debauchery that's going on.
Yes, I think the harshest punishment is yet to come. I think it's going to be Harbaugh's out of college. Yeah. And it's not going to be the NCAA telling him to leave. I think he's just going to go back to the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's interesting, but I still think Michigan's going to win. I don't think either quarterback's exceptionally great, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't think either top receivers are exceptionally great. I think Marvin Harrison. No, I think he is disgustingly overrated as a college receiver.
All
right. He had 30 yards last week. Your top flight receivers don't do that. I think he's still the number one receiver prospect for the draft based on name, pedigree, intangibles, all that. But I don't think he is a top 10 receiver in college football right now.
That's okay. That's fair.
But, and a lot of these wins actually matter. Unlike all of the wins before, like 1950, those were all fake here. I've decided any record prior to, let's say 1930. Let's go with that as the cutoff.
Okay.
I think they were all fake. Michigan just celebrated its 1,000th win. Let's look at some of the teams they beat to get there. Of course, Michigan is not on this one, but they beat a high school. Like, they are counting high school games on that.
So, hold on. Are you, is it actually a high school, or was it a college when they played, and now it's a high school?
It's Ann Arbor High School. That was what it was called when they played their game.
That's a bad look. Yeah, I'm going to go with, like, if it was just a low, like a lowly college, and they kind of just never had the funding or whatever, and they kind of like just cut their losses and made it a high school, I'd understand that. But given the fact that it's been a high school since 1930, I'm like, oh, maybe not.
Yeah, it was established as a high school in 1856.
Yeah, that's not a win. That's
they
not a
played
win.
In 1891.
That's not a win. I'm sorry. It's not.
And like some of them, I'm going to just say, like, Albion. That's not a real place. That's not a real school. It is a private liberal arts college. Olivet. It's a D3 college now. Oberlin, D3. Butler, D3, I'm assuming, for football. Oh, they're D1 FCS. Okay. Butler is the most legitimate win they have. They also played Cornell when Ivy Leagues were good. But then what is the Cleveland Athletic Club? Because apparently they played them. Is that like associated with a school?
Doesn't sound like it is.
Cleveland Athletic. But yeah, it doesn't say. They lost that game.
Ouch.
But yeah, and look, I'm not just going to pile on Michigan with this one. A lot of schools do this.
Yeah.
Penn State, Altoona Athletic Association, Belafonte Academy, Wyoming Seminary, Pittsburgh Athletic Club, Duquesne Athletic Club, Homestead Library. They play a library.
I didn't know that. That's fucking
Steelton YMCA, Jersey Shore YMCA, the Army Ambulance Corps. Virginia Wesleyan Church. They played a CYO team. And some of them are included on this list, but are kind of a little bit more respectable. Like Ohio State played the 17th Regiment and the Columbus Barracks. All right, you're playing military men. Like, that's fine. I'll count that.
Yeah, yeah, but, yeah.
But then the Dayton YMCA. The Dayton Athletic Club. Notre Dame's bad at this. South Bend High School, Goshen High School, Englewood High School, Lake Forest High School, North Division High School, Illinois Cycling Club, Chicago Dental Infirmary. Yeah, you heard that right. Cycling Club, by the way.
I like the dental infirmary one. That's
true.
It's just a bunch of patients with like gauze in their mouth.
Indianapolis Light Artillery is actually kind of cool.
Oh, that's actually dope.
Chicago Physicians and Surgeons. They played a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
No, and then Harvard Prep School. That's another high school. Michigan State, Lansing High School, Michigan School of the Death, Detroit YMCA, Lake Forest High School, Port Huron YMCA, Michigan freshman, just the freshman team, Detroit College JV, Chicago YMCA, Nebraska, Lincoln High School, Grand Island. We're going through all these, by the way. This is hilarious. Lincoln High School, Grand Island High School, Bellevue High School, Omaha YMCA, Sioux City Athletic Club, Butt Athletic Club. It might be Butte. I don't care. Denver Athletic Club, Kansas City Medics, Nebraska Alumni. One of Nebraska's wins that they count is against Nebraska Alumni.
Jesus.
Omaha Balloon Team. That's fun.
Bloom, like B-L-O-O-M?
Balloon.
Oh, Balloon. That's even worse.
Yes. We're going to go to Alabama now because it's only fair.
Yeah.
Birmingham High School, Second Ambulance Company, Birmingham Athletic Club, Tuscaloosa Athletic Club, Montgomery Athletic Club, New Orleans Athletic Club, Nashville, just Nashville in general, apparently. Marion Military Institute, which I'm 99% sure is also a high school in Alabama. Cumberland, which is the one Georgia Tech beat 222-0.
Yeah.
A lot of these are also Pensacola Athletic Club. Other than that, those are all colleges. LSU, Natchez Athletic Club, Lake Charles High School, Southern Athletic Club, Montgomery Athletic Club, LSU Alumni Association. Let the old people just rest, guys. New Orleans YMCA, Eagles Club, New Orleans. I don't even know what the fuck that is. Shreveport Athletic Club, Tennessee Doctors, Monroe Athletic Club, Havana in Cuba. Young Men's Gymnastics Club. There's a lot more. We're going to keep going, though. Tennessee, Bingham High School, Tennessee School for the Deaf, Mooney High School, Knoxville Athletic Club, St. Albans High School, Chattanooga Athletic Club, Knoxville YMCA, Asheville Athletic Club, American Temperance. Aren't those people who wanted us to stop drinking?
Yes.
Okay. Weird. Augusta Athletic Club. And also 11th Infantry Division. I'm not saying that one doesn't count. That's just hilarious.
Yes.
Florida, Gainesville Athletic Club, Gainesville Guards, Tampa Athletic Club, Riverside Athletic Club, Savannah Athletic Club. I'm just going to start saying AC for Athletic Club. Athens AC, Olympia High School, Tallahassee AC, Vidado AC. They played Camp Johnson and Fort Benning. That's kind of cool. American Legion Post. They played at American Legion Post. Texas, Galveston High School, Austin YMCA, Texas School for the Deaf. What do all these schools have against deaf people?
Well, the deaf people were the first signers, so nobody understood how to read it. So
that's true. I'm very curious, though, if this was before or after that, because I feel like Texas, or a lot of these schools, would not schedule them after. Like, oh, that's an unfair advantage. We're not playing them. San Antonio Town Team, West Texas Military Academy, Penn Radio School.
What?
Yeah, Penn Radio School. What's on here? Just Polytechnic is one of them. Where? What school? Is it a college? Is it a high school? Who knows? They don't. Texas Mines, Ream Field Reserves. And then Oklahoma is the last one. Norman High School, Oklahoma City Team, Arkansas City Team. Chiloco Indian School. Okay. Oklahoma City Athletic Association, Guthrie AC, Dallas AC, Arkansas Town Team, Missouri Mines, Paul's Valley Town Team, Kansas City Medics. And yeah, so I'm Honolulu Town Stars. How the fuck did they get money then to go to Honolulu or have Honolulu come to them? But yeah, so all these records are fake. So whatever a team says, like, oh, we have 800 wins, 900 wins, whatever, knock it down like 50.
Minimum. Just from those lists, that was the most chaotic time period in football history. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And also my favorite part of it is you didn't know what was coming next. Were they playing a high school? Were they playing a deaf team? Were they playing a team that fucking took down Hitler 6 months ago? We don't know. It's insane.
Pure chaos. Yeah, that's great.
I love it. I love how insane college football was. Speaking of cultural insanity, we're JMU frauds. We heard all season how they should be bowl eligible. They're undefeated. They're great. They're the greatest team to ever step on a football field. Okay, maybe not that far. But they had game day. PFT was out there talking about his right to free speech and Pat McAfee's right to take his shirt off whenever he wants. And then JMU welcomed all this press by losing to App State. Cannon, what are your thoughts?
You could not have lost. You could not have lost to a better team than App State, because App State comes into your schedule at the absolute worst possible time. You're riding a high. You're looking to get an undefeated season, or in some cases, a playoff spot or a BCS national title game. And then they pull the rug out from under you and they make you look like fools. Now, I know they only won by 3, but God damn it, that's funny.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was funny, objectively. My take on it, though, is why are we freaking out? James Madison was unranked.
Yeah.
Strictly, that's just getting into semantics there. They should have been ranked.
Right.
In a couple of years, they would be ranked with that schedule. Not highly. Look at Liberty. Yeah. But, so, rip James Madison.
Yep.
Sucks to be you guys. You know who it doesn't suck to be right now, Kiernan?
Who?
Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They just broke another record.
Sorry, they broke another record by saying, but you just said all CFB records are fake?
No, this one's a real record.
Oh, okay.
They have broken the lowest over-under record again.
Are we genuinely surprised?
No, I'm not. But at the same time, I do think that's a massive testament to their defense.
Or a condemning indictment of their offense.
Yeah. I mean, yes. But also, we're going to look at the positives here. I mean, their offense can't do shit. They don't hold on to the ball for very long, really. It's not like they have these long drives that end in a field goal. They just don't do anything. And Iowa's defense is still holding teams down. They're still ranked. They're still bowl eligible. It's great. Now, sorry, I was wrong. They tied the record.
Okay.
The over-under set at 27.5 points against Nebraska. Do you know who they tied the record? What game they tied the record with?
Probably the same game 2 years ago.
No, Iowa-Rutgers 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
This is the sixth time in Iowa's past 14 games that the over-under is the lowest or tied for the lowest in college football history.
Jesus.
And all five of the prior ones went under. So free money, guys. Bet the under. But yeah, I mean, shout out Iowa's defense. We're going to be positive here.
Yeah.
If you fire Kirk Ferentz for letting his son stick around and trying to hire his other son to be offensive coordinator, just hire your defense coordinator as head coach. He runs a tight ship.
And that must be so infuriating as a defensive coach. You're like, we have stopped them like 6 times now on their own 40. You have to produce some offense. My guys are exhausted. I mean, I have reserves, but my guys are exhausted. Like, or they're in the best shape of their lives because they just keep playing football.
It's either the worst or it's the best.
Mm.
You go in every day, you're cashing checks. Everyone talks about how great of a job you're doing.
Yeah.
And even if you have a not great game, everyone's going to talk about your offense.
Yeah.
So it's great. Now we're going to move on to my least favorite topic every season, Kieran. The Iron Bowl is this weekend. At first, like to say, fuck them trees. Rip in peace, Harvey Updike, the GOAT. In all seriousness, though, he did almost poison all of southeastern Alabama's water supply. So, not great. But this game is going to be a shit show. First off, Jordan Hare, built on an Indian burial ground. Spooky shit happens. Chris Davis stepped out, but the kick six that they're still fucking milking a decade later. And Auburn just lost an embarrassing game against New Mexico State, a game they paid $1.2 million to play.
Yeah, that is the funniest statistic or whatever.
And they lost by 20 points, by 21 points, actually.
They got beat. They got fucking hammered. It wasn't even like it was a bullshit call. Like, they got bullshit calls all game and their offense couldn't produce. They got beat.
I would say even if it was a bullshit call, like, if they lost by 2 points because of a bullshit call at the end, that's a loss for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm not trying to soften it.
Any game you almost lose is not a great game. People still bring up the Louisiana Monroe game. Mm-hmm. And Auburn fans are trying to justify it, like, oh, in Saban's first year, they lost to Louisiana Monroe. Steve Sarkisian lost to a 2-8 Kansas team his first year. Blah, blah, blah. All the games they're listing combined to like 12 points total. They lost by 21. And it could not have happened to a worse person. Fuck you, Hugh Freeze. But because of that, couple that with the Indian burial ground thing and Alabama fighting for a playoff spot, oh my God. This is going to be the biggest shit show of a game you have seen in your life.
Good. I hope so.
I don't.
Wait, why?
I do not want a shit show of a game.
What are you anticipating a shit show meaning? Like, what's your definition here?
A lot of turnovers, a lot of bullshit, a lot of stupid fucking touchdowns.
Like, for Alabama or against them?
Both.
Oh. Okay. I mean,
both. It's going to go both ways, and then it's going to go to...
The scoreline is going to be like 63-24. What are you complaining about?
It's either going to be 63-24... or it's going to be a 22-20 win in quadruple overtime. Like, that, there's no in between for the Iron Bowl.
That's rivalry week, baby.
I hate it. I fucking
don't worry. Don't worry. Penn State's going to embarrass me as well and lose to Michigan State. So, you know, cut your losses.
You cannot lose to those sexual deviants. Oh my God. Oh, I actually, no, they got rid of their sexual deviant.
Yeah.
Unless there's a good chance there's more, but
probably.
But yeah, so that's our show this week, Kiernan. Unless there's anything else you want to touch on?
No, it's rivalry week. Got turkey in the oven, I presume, most people. It's going to be fun. Day drinking beer and watching football. Well, 2 days after, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, it's going to be great. There's probably some shitty games on tomorrow night.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will be at one of those shitty games on Friday. I'm going to BC Miami.
Nice.
Game's going to be a shit show, but in a good way, because I don't care who wins. So everyone have a good, safe, fun, long weekend. For everyone who has to work Friday, I'm sorry. For everyone who doesn't, it's fucking awesome, isn't it?
It is.
But this episode is brought to you by Yeats. Head over to yeatsofficial.com. Promo code tailgate for 10% off your order. They make a great Christmas present. And it's holiday season, officially. Break out your Christmas tree on Friday. Break out the Christmas music 2 weeks ago, because that's when I fucking started, because I don't know what's going on with my brain, Kiernan.
It's gone. It's what it is.
Yeah, fair. Fair. It's like that scene from Elf. I'm in love, and I don't care who knows it. So, but I would like to leave everyone with these parting words. Fuck the committee. Fuck them trees. And go fuck up some beers.
Let's go. Happy Thanksgiving.
So they wanted a stable presence, a guy without a lot of scandals, so they hired someone who killed Stu.
Yeah, the LSU way.
Just going to put that out there just so we don't get sued.
Well, thank you for that. I'm not sure whether I should be offended or take it as a compliment, but you know, go on. Put them both in a jousting tournament.
None of it matters. Texas A&M's going to go 8-4 this year, and half those kids are going to transfer.
Are you sure?
Thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.